or call or text me at 812-325-4453 or jim@realtystafford.com.
Live from downtown Bloomington, it's Glass in the Afternoon on Bloomington's Voice, 98.7 WGCL.
All right, welcome back to Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour here on a Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for being with us the 16th day of May. Don't forget tonight, the Pacers will learn their ping pong ball fate in the NBA lottery. They have a 6.9% chance of securing the first pick. ESPN at 8 o'clock will have that. The worst they can draft is 7th. That is their draft position. It would be nice for them to jump. They've never had the number one pick. Never, ever, 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 ever. Some people will blame David Stern and his frozen envelopes for such chicanery and tomfoolery. We'll see what they do tonight. We'll have full analysis tomorrow, Glass in the Afternoon. Big show Friday. Joe Smith is with us Friday, as he always is, and we're busy with the rest of the week as well. But we're busy tonight. As I promised you earlier, the Oracle, the man with no peer in the fantasy golf betting world, in my opinion, my great friend Rob Bolton from PGAtour.com. That's all I got on the intro. Does that suffice?
Well, I got to say that I think tomfoolery is number one in my power rankings this week.
Oh, if he is. So, boy, this field went to thunder. This went to hell in a handbasket quickly. So much for being the top 99 of the top 100. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, buddy. And listen, I got to say something right off the gate here. You know, you didn't have to do this, but this is the most elaborate birthday gift I have ever received. Put me on a live radio show to talk about a major, I'm in. But then to do it on my birthday, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. You were at the top of my power rankings.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, is this the Champions Tour power rankings, or is this the regular tour?
It's going to have to be Champions.
It's going to have to be Champions. Well, I thought we were friends on Facebook, but you might be one of those guys that doesn't put your birthday in the little line that says enter your birthday here. That's how I keep track. That is the new day planner moving forward for old people. It's put your birthday in there. It shoots. Happy birthday, amigo. What did you? Thanks, anything
man.
Cool? What'd you get?
That. Although I do kind of play it low key. I like that. You know, it's just another day, typical Tuesday, got to focus on the work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that it's happy hour where you live, that's really the icing on the cake right there.
Well, let's pop a audio beer for the audience together, shall we, and figure out what's going on. Do you have any big plans for the big day? What's your wife got in mind?
I'm talking to him right now, man. I just said, this is the best birthday present I've ever received. I really appreciate it. Well, I mean that. I mean,
it reeked of hyperbole, so I wasn't sure there. So I make sure I have my life jacket on when I jump in for all of this. Speaking of life jackets, no one's going to go swimming anywhere near Rochester, New York this week. Frost warning alert for Thursday morning. Hey, let's move the PGA from August to May, but we've already determined we're going to have these other places hosting it. Well, there's never a dull moment when you get the 105th edition of the PGA Championship together. No amateurs, a field of 156 will also include Stephen Alker, the senior KitchenAid PGA champion from last year, 20 club professionals who are now sponsored by something. Please forgive me, I have not kept up on that. But it is the deepest and best field in golf. It is the second major championship of the year, and we return to Oak Hill, which, as I've been telling my listeners all week, has meaning in the golf community here in Bloomington, Indiana, the home of Indiana University, as you well know, the 2003 winner, his only tour victory, is Sean McKeel, and he played on Indiana's golf team. So that's always cool this time of year around here.
Also the most recent winner at Oak Hill in the field, because Jason Duffner withdrew a couple of days ago. He, of course, won 10 years ago at the course. We're in that weird time of the PGA Championships being scheduled years in advance for all of the reasons. And then the modification to move of the tournament to May, until we get out from underneath, you know, that this weird period of time, you know, a course like Oak Hill in May is going to present these types of challenges. But look, everybody's playing, you know, on the same day. Obviously, conditions vary from hour to hour, especially in weather like this. So we may have some griping about where people landed. But, I mean, that's what they do for a living, and that's always the potential. And, hey, you don't have to play.
That's exactly right.
So what do we do with it? We watch, we prognosticate, and all those sorts of fun things.
And that's what makes it fun. Rob Bolton, PGAtour.com, power rankings among other great content provided. PGAtour.com and PGAtour.com/golfbet for all of your we'll do the research for you. That's kind of how this works out. So we'll give you a little taste of how the sausage is made. And, well, the sausage that's going to be made at Oak Hill, the East Course, Donald Ross, 1924, 5, 6, whenever he put this all together. We have seen now this will be the fourth PGA Championship. Jack Nicklaus in 1980, Sean McKeel, as you mentioned, and we mentioned in 2003, Duffner in 2013. Now the fourth one, the most behind Southern Hills, who hosted last year. And this time around, Rob, we'll start with the course. It's not going to look anything like it did 10 years ago or 20 when Sean won, or even when Curtis Strange won a U.S. Open here or the Ryder Cup back in the 80s and 90s. Andrew Green has got his hands on it. He has restored this Donald Ross gem, and that's going to make, in my opinion, a big difference this week.
Yeah, it should. By the way, PGA Championship's on the threes in the 21st century here. 3-13-23. I see the trend. I get it.
Oh, well, you got a radio voice. Yeah, I'm going to have you cut that promo when we come back.
You know, my bill is going to be very, very low, but you'll get one. With all the trees that have been removed, it's really there's been an effort to restore the original design. And as we know, things that are that are alive tend to grow, and especially plants. And so this is necessary at some point if a course is really going to stand up. We've seen the tree-lined courses many years and all over the country, and this one's going to have trees. It has trees, but it's not like Oakmont a few years ago where there's only one tree after all of them were removed to bring its old bones back. Still a challenging course where Dustin Johnson won. This is, of course, still a challenging course, but it's more for agronomy. It's the sight lines. I think the more of the aesthetic experience. Yes, wind will have more room to move, but they play the ball in the air, so it's not going to be that big of a deal in terms of the tree removal. It's just a cool thing, you know, to kind of take a step back in time, but now in HD.
4K. We've seen this before with Donald Ross when Gil Hance redid Pinehurst number 2 for the U.S. Open back in 2014. The minimalist. Well, it's not minimalist. It's what it was when the course was originally designed. The greens will be back to their square shapes. They're not very big. The target's off the tee. I saw a tweet just a minute ago of Tyrrell Hatton taking his TrackMan into the rough and playing balls out of the rough. I've also seen Twitter show the old, you know, the first thing we do on property, all the Twitter people run to the rough and do the overhead cam, drop the ball down there and see what's going on. Well, major championship golf should have rough. It should have difficult course conditions. And as Kerry Haig, who is the course setup guru for the PGA, said, well, we do play outdoors. That is part of it.
Yeah, I don't want you to be. Look, if anyone has a problem with that, you haven't come mentally prepared for this championship, right? And if you're a fan, well, welcome to the majors. This is the way it is. Not at the Masters, but the other three. Well, at least
I think that's an important point, though, because the Masters kicks everything off, and the Masters is a second shot course. You must score. You on the back nine on the Masters doesn't begin until the back nine on Sunday. You have all these things that go along with scoring, and then all of a sudden it's like the PGA has met the U.S. Open, and here we are, wabam, in May.
By the way, if any Masters members of Augusta National happen to be listening, we both Glass and I know it's actually the second nine.
Oh, that's right. It is not the back nine. It is the second nine, and that is the first cut, right? Or the second cut? You're right.
Yeah.
I turned that off after April 14th. That automatically goes into the file for next year. But you're right.
You're much more counterculture than I am, apparently. But one of us has to be. Look, the course is set up as well as it can be. I think when we really get into it, the granular, you know, with the wind, the hole locations will matter, and then, you know, the course will play a little bit wider and a little bit shorter because there's going to be some rain probably on the weekend. But the greens will still touch 13 on the stimp. So, I mean, it's going to give us everything they want. But it's still, you know, it's still going to be somewhat scoreable. You know, Duffner won a 10-under 10 years ago. It's very different. You know, the greens were different, and the grass was different, and, you know, there's just going to be a different look to it. I always think that every time a course, he shot a 63 and still, in that week, and I always think that anytime something like that happens and ties a course record, because the course has been redone, this is an aside, by the way, there should be a new course record, because it's like, you know,
I agree 100%.
The courses that go 100%. Over that, you know, that overhaul, there really needs to be a new course record. It's not how it works in golf, but whoever shoots the lowest round in the first round, in my estimation, will have owned the new course record, and we'll get a better sense. We'll go from there forward the next time Oak Hill hosts a big event, which may or may not change for the next one. It didn't change in 13. They kind of like let it go, and it just was kind of like, that's the best they can do. It's very different this year. It should be springy and bouncy from an experience standpoint, just a different feel, a little more modern, a little more fun.
And the other thing, we talk about the Masters, well, we have a correlation there, bent grass greens. The Poe is out. They've resodded everything. Now it's a couple, 3 or 4 years ago. Everything should be settled in, ready to go. And I know everybody has to play the same greens, but we know not everybody loves to putt on bent grass that can get cooking up to 13. Sure, it's not Augusta National. I'm not painting that picture, but there are some guys that just don't enjoy that surface to putt. You have to have all 14 clubs, as I wrote today, and you've got to have the 6 inches between your headspace. What else from this course stands out? Is it just it's not brutally long, but it's not short. The two par five holes are both over 600 yards. That doesn't jump out as scoreable. Two par threes that are 230 or better. It should be hard, shouldn't it? It's a major.
Yeah, I think we've covered enough of that. You know, when it's a major, now it comes down to who's playing in it, and the best in the world tend to show up. You know, that's just the way these things go. They play other weeks, and maybe they're 98% in it for whatever reason. But this is a week when they're 100% in it. It's a major. It's history, and you can make the arguments that every tournament's history, but not like this. And in a course like this, set up like this, they haven't played a track like this in a while, and they need to be prepared. They need to be focused. Everything needs to be simple outside the ropes. And this is a week where we get to see who among the best is prepared the best, and of course, then who executes the best. That's really ultimately what this comes down to. So it's not like last week where lowest score on a Sunday tends to win, which it did at 23 under. It's going to be who's going to be able to survive this thing and why. And then we'll learn much more about it. You dig into it, and not only is it good for a golf fan, but from a sort of a casual or mainstream golf fan, you get to see all these great players play a great test, and it's going to be covered wonderfully by CBS and all the properties that are going to have their hands on this thing. There's so much coverage for it this week that it's going to be almost impossible to miss, even if you're not watching.
7 a.m. to 7 p.m., whether you're on ESPN Plus, and it'll wrap up at the end. 99 of the top 100 players in golf. The only person missing is Will Zalatoris. Sadly, had back surgery, I believe, a month or so ago. He is on the mend. We'll talk about somebody else from Texas who has an injury problem. We will get to all of the power ranking top choices. The fades, perhaps the sleepers for sure. And we'll do it with the man. You're the best. Rob Bolton joins us. We got to take a quick timeout. You know how this works. That's the teaser. And when we come back, we will start dropping picks left, right, and center for all of you to scratch down on your tickets for this week. The Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour will roll on after a quick timeout in Diane Daly's news headlines. More with the birthday boy, Rob Bolton, next. All right, welcome back to Crazy Horse Tavern Happy Hour here on a Tuesday. Rob Bolton Tuesday, birthday boy, live on the telephone with us from PGAtour.com. I'll remind you, our friends at Sultan's Run in Jasper are going to host the Senior LPGA Championship coming up this summer. But get over there before they get everything ready for tournament play at the end of June. It's only 80 minutes, folks. It's fantastic. Sultan's Run for a premium time on a premium golf course. Yeah, that's what you do. Sultan's Run in Jasper. Sultan'sRun.com. They will help you out. Thanks for Sultan's Run for being on board. I got to get over there. I played last week in a scramble. I'm just now getting all the kinks out. It's hell to get old, but I'm not as old as you are, Rob Bolton, so that's the good news. Welcome back. Welcome back. The teaser. Oh, my gosh, we have to get it all set up. We talked about the course before the break at the bottom of the hour. Give me the picks. Give me the picks. Give me the picks. I can hear everybody yelling. We will get to the picks. We will get to the picks. Please, please relax. How are the Cubs doing this year? They're better than you thought, right?
They're struggling of late.
Didn't they get off to a hot start?
The better I feel right now.
They're like everybody else in baseball. Injuries. They're two games above or two games below. That's the entire baseball minus Tampa.
Yeah. You're right. Totally. Exactly. Yeah. Everybody's within like 5 games of .500 except for Tampa and Oakland.
That would be the other
side. By the way, you said you could hear the people yelling. I thought those were the only voices in my head, so I'm glad I'm not alone.
once Bill Gates can get those transmitted, boy, we're going to make some money. We are going to make some big-time bucks there. Well, we're trying to make our listeners a couple dollars because everybody has a majors pool. Everybody has, if you're, like you mentioned, the casual golf fan here in Indiana, you can jump on 4 or 5 or 6 different sports books and get your opinion on record. And if you are smart enough to pick out a winner or a top 10 or a top 5, well, we're hoping to give you some clues. Rob's power rankings are at PGAtour.com. And the cream usually does rise to the top in the biggest events, and this week is not much different. 1 and 2 or 1 and 2, or are we close? And by the way, I've got to point this out. This is your birthday, and I didn't want to go here on your birthday, but you were all over Jason Day at Quail Hollow, and lo and behold, he doesn't play well, and what does he do the next week? He steamrolls the field on Sunday for 62, picks up the big old cowboy hat, boots, and whatever else they give out you. There's nothing that drives me crazier than when that happens.
That happened with Ricky Fowler in the fall, too. All over him for, I'm going to forget the
it was at the Vegas. Summit and Club, then, right?
I think so, yeah. And then ended up contending at Zozo, if I'm not mistaken.
One of the two. Exactly. Yeah, Keegan Bradley beat Fowler at Zozo, right.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, I've been at this for a long time. It's happened. It'll happen again. And it's funny how, like, when the guys fulfill the projections, then it's like, well, of course they did. But when they don't, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, what, like, you, it, there's, I, and golf is, you know, the differences are infinitesimal. So sometimes you just don't know. Sometimes it's one bad hole, the putts aren't dropping. Whatever the case is, it happens. And in a racetrack, you don't expect a guy like Day to necessarily, like you do, but you don't, because other guys, you know, they get hot with a putter.
There's too many variables at a tournament where 25 under has to win. Where Quail Hollow is more of like a mini major championship, where you expect perhaps the class to come to the top again.
It's like anybody can win at Top Golf. Right, and it's a lot of fun because there's a lot of positive energy, just like there was last week. But at Quail Hollow, it's not Top Golf. It's you got to be able to golf your ball, and the way he's been going, you know, the vertigo and everything was something that he didn't really lead on to until then. So it would have been nice.
Well, he scared me off him last week. Yeah, I ran and hid.
Yep.
Well, I'm a dope. That happens. Well, that's why I bring you on. People want experts on this program. I had the mayor on today. So you just fall right into this category expertise and knowledge. Scottie Scheffler is number one in the rankings. That's not going to surprise anybody. But if the one thing – here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Scottie Scheffler's one issue perhaps is not having the best putter. You don't need to be the best at everything to win a major championship. He won't have to worry about that. He's already a Masters champion, and that won't bother him as the week goes along.
You hit the nail on the donkey or something like that. you when I see him putting late in the tournament with the tournament on the line, I got like, you know, most of my fingers covering my eyes. It's tough. And this isn't watching Will Zalatoris or Robert Allende take back the putter, right? Or Billy Mayfair back in. This is not that. It's he has struggled. If you're going to be picky, no one's perfect. We're going to find that element where we can be picky and have this conversation. It's clutch putting. When he won at TPC Scottsdale across the valley here, it was with a long putt, something that, you know, what, 10% go in type of thing. Low expectations, low pressure necessarily, because it's not something he expected to to sink. But we have seen examples. The match play he lost to Billy Horschel. You know, last week there were some putts that didn't drop, and that's his Achilles heel, the Scheffler heel. So we'll see what happens when we get to the weekend. But
even his
he is a default top 10.
Yeah, I mean, even when he's off, it's 12 straight T12 or better. We haven't seen that. Ironically, last year at this time, I don't know if you were on for the PGA last year. I can't remember. But anywho, Scottie Scheffler told everybody 10 days leading into the tournament, it's my favorite course, Southern Hills. What's he do? Well, he goes out and lays an egg. Why? Golf, my friends. That's why.
Yeah.
Golf.
Yeah. First of all, if you don't remember, if I was on the show for the PGA, what an impact I made.
Well, I knew you were on for the Masters, and I couldn't remember if we – because I know you weren't, because we would have talked about your birthday, because the PGA is the same time every year.
I'm just still bent that you brought up day at the Quail Hollow. But
well, that shows your expertise. You had it nailed. It just – there is no perfect. But John Rahm has been close. He can putt. He can drive the golf ball. He can find all the – you would think in a vacuum, he should be number one in all this. But winning back-to-back major championships to get the season started, that's not always the easiest ask either.
Yeah. First of all, one final thought on one final thought to
it's your birthday. I'll
play Jerry Springer. We're basically asking Scheffler, how come you don't win every time? You know, which is obviously ultimately unfair. But that's kind of where he's brought us, and we just want more, more, more. As far as Rahm, yeah, I mean, we got a 1 and a 1A here, or a 1 and a 1, a couple of T1.
Coupled entry
atop the power rankings. You could flip a coin, and no one's going to be upset. No one was upset. Rahm is number two. Maybe he is. Maybe that's what he needs. I don't know, but not that he needs my help. But he's ridiculous. He's just ridiculous. You know, I just there is a little bit in my head about he's going to. You know, he's already won the Masters, and how much will he be thinking about possibly getting halfway to the. You know, the calendar Grand Slam, and then three quarters of the way to the career Grand Slam. That's a lot. But there's no reason not to support the guy. He's number two. That's not a knock. It just so happens that Scottie Scheffler also was in the field and a little warmer. And, you know, that's where I draw the line. That's really nothing. It's not an indictment. It's not really anything you'd hang a hat on. It's just kind of personal preference between the two guys right now.
And Rob Bolton is our guest. It's his birthday. He is spending it with me, like most of you do on your birthdays. We don't have any music queued up, sadly. People always ask me at the end of my program, why do you never thank your producer? And I said, well, simply, I don't talk to myself. I talk to you. That's what I do here. Brooks Koepka, he's won two of these. Rory McIlroy has won two of these. Phil Mickelson has won two of these. And the defending champion has also won two. Justin Thomas. All it took was him admitting he's on some kind of crazy diet to get all the sugar out of his body and take it to the next level for him to hit another top 10. We learned that. If he does repeat, he will join Tiger Woods and Koepka as the only two to do so. It is bent grass. Thomas just hasn't cranked out those results that maybe we've expected of Scheffler and Rahm, but you're bullish on him this week, if I've read correctly.
Yeah, I slipped him into my PGA Tour Fantasy Golf lineup late last night. I swapped out Finau, who's, what, fourth or fifth? He's fifth in my power rankings. Thomas is down there at 14th. I mean, there's just strategy involved with respect to who you play and where, but so there's that. But I'm buying into JT's positive rhetoric. He has said that he's acknowledging he's one of the best out there in terms of being transparent about where he is in his game, and he conveys it in a way that's understandable, which we all appreciate. He has said that he's no longer slumping. You know, the problem with him this season has been consistency, or rather inconsistency, with his shorter clubs on approach, which last year he was like Rahm this year, video game-like. Or this season, rather, versus last season. JT has not been that. And he expressed that at the Masters, and then to use your phrase, laid an egg at the Masters. Thomas, that is. So here we are at the next major, and he's in a different place. It's only a month later. He's JT. You know, when you turn 30, it's been a long time since I've done that, but the body starts to react differently to the sugars you put in it, so it makes sense that he's making some changes, as he should as a professional athlete, but also as a human being, so that he's willing to do it. Says all you know about his ability to, you know, remain situationally aware about physical fitness and how it affects his day job and all those sorts of good things, but he's also chasing more history this week. 14 is a nice slot given the way he's been playing of late and the uptick that we are expecting.
The power rankings 20 deep on a big PGA championship week. That's not surprising. Interesting, the 4, 5, and 6 combo, the West Coast boys, the Californians and Tony Finau from Utah, all three looking for their first major championship, and not a lot of room to separate them. I guess Finau gets the nod in the sense that he's the only one with a victory in calendar 2023, but Cantlay and Schauffele play awfully well. I'm thinking if this is more of a U.S. Open setup, Schauffele loves those, Finau loves those, and Cantlay's, we talk about this all the time, it seems like, Cantlay to have 3 top tens in just 22 weekends. That's almost the biggest mind-blowing stat of this group.
Yeah, and those are relatively recent too, right? So it's taken him a bit to crank them out in these tournaments. It's funny with Cantlay and Schauffele, just them being happening to be very good friends and now annual partners at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. You could almost write the same thing for those guys. They should be exactly the same odds across every market. There should be an odd a bet for them to tie for the tournament, that sort of thing.
In a playoff.
They're basically the same person with the same record. So the fact that I slipped Finau in between them is almost impossible, but there you go. Finau deserves to be in the top 5. I'm leaning more into Xander. Just he's presenting stronger, and there is that doubt about Cantlay. So that he's sixth is really more support for him than it is an expectation not to play well. And Day, of course, they're at 7 last week's winner, and then we go on from there. So, I mean, at some point, right? Cantlay, Finau, and Schauffele in some order will win majors, right? I mean, they have to.
We've all said that forever. We also said that once Adam Scott wins one, he's going to win a bucket full. Once Jason Day wins one, they're going to just start falling out of the sky. It's hard to do. Very, very hard to do. And that's what makes this fun to watch and fun to talk about. Now, here's the problem. What's McIlroy? What McIlroy is going to show up this week? Which one? What is the ESPN headline? Have you seen this headline today? It's just sitting there on ESPN.com. The main headline was something. Well, it's not there anymore, so it did not do the traffic that my buddy who works there. It was something like McIlroy, awfully quiet. Oh, there it is. Fourth down. Outspoken McIlroy, suddenly quiet on LIV Golf. That's what we're churning out this week. That's the angle at ESPN. Who's going to cover this at 7 a.m. on ESPN Plus when Sean McKeel tees off on Thursday morning? That's our headline.
Well, I don't work there.
Well, I know you don't, but I know the PGA Tour Live Things a deal. You and I do not write about it or talk about it. But Rory McIlroy's won this twice. He has not won a major since 2014. He did not play well at the Masters. He did not play well at the Players. He did not play well at Quail Hollow where he eats. When is he ever going to play well again?
Well, I was just going to say that I don't work at ESPN, of course, and I never have. But I full disclosure, I have not listened or watched McIlroy's presser this week.
Either have I.
Probably an exchange, right, in which he was asked about Liv and maybe just gave some sort of textbook forgettable response, other than the fact that maybe there wasn't a response. But look, I go back to the Players with him. When I was there and I was touting and trumpeting McIlroy to win it, even after a terrible first round, like, now he'll come back. And I cited some evidence of how guys who opened with 76 made the cut, and one of them even had a top 20 and ended up being top Hoagie this year. But it wasn't Rory McIlroy.
Right.
But nevertheless, I mean, what he didn't lead on was how much all of this has been weighing on him. Meanwhile, the last time I remember reading anything or hearing anything, in earnest about it was that how much he was thriving in that, being the man, you know, having the voice. And he ultimately said it got to be too much, and the Masters was a problem. And he took the break and didn't play the Heritage and took the hit financially, if he feels that at all. But he made right decisions to put himself back in the driver's seat. So expectations are back up there this week. So now I'm curious what he didn't say or what he did say or whatever happened. But, Yeah, there is obviously that lane. There's that thing that exists. And three of the guys that play for LIV Golf are in my power rankings. Two of them are in my lineup for PGA Tour Fantasy Golf. Hey, there's a lot of value there from what I do for a living. So
Right. They're
going to be there. It's not like we're omitting them or ignoring them. But in terms of that conversation, maybe it's good that he's simplifying. If he chose not to speak, I'm going to have to go back and watch.
All right, me too. I'll figure it out as well. We have 5 good minutes left with the birthday boy, Rob Bolton. I have not clicked on your sleeper picks yet, why I've been in the saddle all afternoon, and I haven't had time to get into any of that fun stuff. So I have not looked yet. I'm not going to guess. I'm going to throw you one from my angle. Keegan Bradley, did he register with you?
Love Keegs. I mean, in fact, I go back to the 11.
His part of the world.
Right. There is some of that. Brandon Wu happens to be one of my sleepers.
I had him on my team. I had him rostered last week. He was the third biggest point grabber, and I didn't get him in the lineup. Shut up.
Top 25 for the previous week or the previous tournament in Mexico, you know, podium. But Wu prepped at Deerfield Academy in Massachusetts, so he won't be thrown by the weather, certainly not Keegs. I go back to the 11 PGA that Keegs won, and the very last question in the Roto World chat that week before you and I knew who each other was throw a guy out there who you think will win that's not on any of the work, and it was Keegan Bradley.
First
time ever. Hey, maybe I know what I'm doing. But I love the pick. Personally, I don't think he's a sleeper.
Well, he's 100-1.
A little bit deeper, yeah. But Lucas Herbert is my top sleeper. He's just inside the top 50 of the world. I wrote about how Sungjae Im got all the attention this week for flying to Korea and coming back, and he won the event. Well, Herbert did the same thing, and when he won in Japan the week after, he played Harbortown, made the cut, so he had a short week, and he went and won the thing. I happened to be watching the opening of the event, saw him tee off, and like, wow, this is so strange. We just saw him at Harbortown, and then he wins, and then he's rested since. Plus 200 for top 40 for the guy. That's not too shabby for your doppelganger, pal.
No, not too bad at all. Thorbjørn Olesen is on here as well. He was on my short list. I had Keegan Bradley, Tom Hoagie because of perhaps climate, and Thorbjørn Olesen. So we have crossed the streams, and you know what happened in Ghostbusters when that went on. Oh, geez.
I also went. For the big events like the majors. I try to spread it across internationally. So there's no country or flag is represented more than once in there.
Oh, very cool.
The color
yes.
on the tweet. I think that's one of the reasons.
It does look nice. And Stephen Yeager's the happiest man in that list because he's the last man in the field, right?
And he's plus 110 for top 40. I love that. The most guys their last in are they're 1,000-1 to win. Yeager is not that, and he's very popular right now amongst the street. So it's a good reason that he's so short.
And these are the off the radar perhaps selections. But you've got the how do I phrase this? The days of Ben Curtis are over. Why is that? Do you feel and if anybody in the old days, John Daly, Sean McKeel, we can just start firing some of the. It seemed like either the Open Championship or the PGA. Rich Beam, no offense, Rich, but these were guys that weren't household names. Why has that stopped? Do you think?
I think it's more like why did it happen in the first place? And you can kind of.
Well, that's a great way to look at it. That's why I call you. This is great.
Curtis was on a heater. I mean, he
was. You're right.
Heaked. And
he won Valero.
Todd Hamilton, same thing. Peaked. Those guys were they back to back? I think, or they're like within a
close.
Couple
yeah.
Yeah, and Y.E. Yang
beat Tiger Woods. Bob May. Bob May's got to be in there.
Oh,
that was crazy.
That's a tremendous playoff, by the way. Great pull there during this week. Yeah. But it happens, right? And it's like we don't expect it, but it shows you how deep the global game can be.
All right, I got 1 minute left, and I got to ram this in because I left it out before we started. Where's Jordan Spieth? What should we do with him? He's got the tape on his wrist. The videos are coming out of him working out on the range and everything else. He did not play his hometown event last week. AT&T sponsor, my goodness.
Cannot play him in fantasy because it's too big of a week. There's enough speculation in a betting market where you could invest fractionally, throw a quarter unit at him for something like a top 20, and then maybe he gives you a little bit of an offset there on the card if he has a good week. But I mean, if he was healthy, I love the fit because he's hitting it much longer. He's like the Matt Fitzpatrick in that regard. But with so much consternation over the wrist, and there's also a chance he may not play at all, I don't know why you would get into that market at all when it comes down to actually wanting to have a good week. There's plenty of talent in the field. There's just no reason to risk. But you know me, I'm a conservative that way.
Right. And the other side of that is if you're chasing in any season-long games and you want to take a shot, well, all you get out of that deal would be the career grand slam. And what do they always say?
You know what? You opened the show by talking about, or you mentioned earlier about the scramble you played. He'd be awesome in a scramble this week. Just let him play around the green. He won't hurt the wrist, and he can still deliver for you. How's that?
Beware the injured golfer, Jason Day. Beware the injured golfer, Jordan Spieth. Well, if you want to be counterculture, as you mentioned earlier, there is absolutely plenty of room for all of that. 99 of the top 100 are in the field. 20 club pros, Stephen Alker as well. It is Donald Ross. Well, now Andrew Green's East Course at Oak Hill. Happy birthday, my friend. I hope the Cubbies bring you home a victory tonight. That's the least they could do after years of
support.
That
would be a nice gift as well, but not as good as this one, pal. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
You're the best. Will you come back for the U.S. Open there on Father's Day week? We'll just have holiday after holiday. This is awesome.
Yeah, book me.
Oh, I like it. There you go,
tell
folks.
Tell your producer to write it down in pencil.
I'll look him in the mirror. I'll look right at him. Thanks, buddy. You're the best.
All right, pal.